Hello and welcome to our weekly reflections on Sunday's liturgy. Today we have before us the fifth Sunday of Lent. Dr. A.J. Cronin was a great Christian physician in England. One night he assigned a young nurse to a little boy who had been brought to the hospital suffering from diphtheria and given only a slight chance to live. A tube was inserted into the boy's throat to help him breathe. It was the nurse's job periodically to clean out the tube. But as the nurse sat beside the boy's bed, she accidentally dozed off. She awakened to find that the tube had become blocked. Instead of following instructions, she was immobilized by panic. Hysterically, she called the doctor from his home. By the time he got to the boy, he was dead. Dr. Cronin was angry beyond expression. That night, Dr. Cronin went to his office and wrote his recommendation to the board demanding the immediate expulsion of the nurse. He called her in and read it, his voice trembling with anger. She stood there in pitiful silence, a tall, thin, gawky Welsh girl. She nearly fainted with shame and remorse. "Well," asked Dr. Cronin in a harsh voice, "have you nothing to say for yourself?" There was more silence. Then she uttered this pitiful plea, "Please give me another chance." Dr. Cronin sent her away, but he could not sleep that night. He kept hearing some words from the dark distance, "Forgive us our trespasses." The next morning, Dr. Cronin went to his desk and tore up the report. In the years that followed, he watched as the slim, nervous girl became the head of a large hospital and one of the more honored nurses in England. Thank God for a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. Do you need to encounter God's forgiveness? He died on a cross to make it available. Reminding us of God's readiness to forgive sin and to restore people to his friendship, today's readings challenge us to show the same mercy to the sinners around us and to live as forgiven people, actively seeking reconciliation. The central theme of all three readings is a merciful God's steadfast love. The readings encourage us to reflect seriously on the ultimate example of God's compassionate love for us. They remind us that we cannot stand by self-righteously and condemn the lives of others when God is calling them tenderly to conversion. Repentance is not something we do. Rather, it is allowing the forgiving power of God to touch our lives and lead us along new paths. Explaining how a merciful God forgives the sins of his chosen people and leads them back from the Babylonian exile, the first reading reminds us that we too are forgiven and that we are saved from our own sinfulness. In the second reading, Paul presents himself as a forgiven sinner who has been completely transformed by his faith in Christ Jesus. His life is an example of obedience to the gospel exhortation, "Sin no more." Paul loves Christ so much that he wants to share in his sufferings and even in his death, so that he may share in Christ's resurrection. The sinful woman's story of sin committed and sin forgiven in today's gospel also shows the inexhaustible mercy and compassion Jesus grants to sinners. It invites us to recognize and experience in our lives both God's justice and his mercy. We bear witness to the justice of God by confessing our sinfulness and determining to avoid sin, and we bear witness to God's mercy by accepting the forgiveness of our sins and by determining to forgive those who have offended us. This powerful narrative of Jesus and the accused woman is not found in the earliest and the best manuscripts of John and appears in other important manuscripts after Luke 21:38. Still, early church authors such as Papias of 120 AD and the author of the Syriac Teachings of the 12 Apostles of the 3rd century knew of such an incident, and Jerome included it in his translation. For these reasons, the story is judged canonical by Catholics. It might have been omitted in some early rigorous traditions because the early church, in its struggle to maintain strict penitential discipline, perhaps could not deal with the ease with which Jesus forgave the woman. In this episode, Jesus seemed too soft on sin. Perhaps for this reason, the story was temporarily set aside by the early church and was only later granted canonical approbation. The incident happened in Jerusalem in the precincts of the temple where Jesus had been teaching. His opponents brought forward a woman caught in the act of adultery. The Mosaic penalty for such an offense was death by stoning, although there is no evidence that this ever took place. Certainly not in Roman times. Stoning was mostly done in the cases of blasphemy. Such was the case with Stephen, whom we read about in the book of Acts. The Jewish civil and criminal code considered three grave sins as punishable by death, namely idolatry, murder, and adultery. Deuteronomy prescribes death by strangulation for a married woman caught in adultery. If a guilty woman is betrothed, she had to be stoned. In both cases, they have violated God's sixth commandment and have destroyed the fidelity and unity of marriage. His opponents wanted to use the occasion to embarrass Jesus because he had the reputation of proclaiming God's mercy towards sinners. If he insisted on following the law exactly, his reputation as a prophet of God's mercy would be open to question. Besides, if Jesus consented to her death by strangulation or stoning, he would be violating the Roman law, which forbade killing by private citizens. If he took the side of the adulterous woman, he was open to the charge of ignoring God's law and God's justice as given by Moses. This was the ingenious trap they had set for Jesus. Initially, Jesus showed his lack of interest in the case by simply writing on the ground. The woman waited to hear Jesus' verdict. She knew that she was guilty. She had passed the judgment on herself, and she accepted Jesus' right to do the same. Perfectly understanding the secret intentions of her self-righteous accusers and the helplessness of the repentant sinner, Jesus gave his verdict, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Thus, Jesus turned the accusers' attention back on themselves and made them realize that they too were sinners. St. Augustine puts Jesus' stand as follows, "Let this woman be punished, but not by sinners. Let the law be applied, but not by its transgressors." Thus, Jesus ingeniously escaped from the trap by leaving the judgment to the consciences of the accusers. This reduced the accusers to silence, prompting them to leave in shame. Since Jesus knew that her sin was a violation of the sixth commandment, "For you shall not commit adultery," he gave the woman a strong warning, "Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." Jesus did not shrink from calling her deed a sin inappropriate and offensive to the justice of God. He forgave the sinner, but he upheld the justice of God by not accusing or explaining away the sin. Without minimizing her sinfulness, Jesus showed the sinner the respect she deserved as a human being, treating her with compassion. Clearly, he valued repentance and conversion more than simple reprisal. Not only did Jesus not condemn the woman, he even gave her hope for the future. Jesus is thus portrayed as a living expression of the divine mercy, a wise and kind judge, more concerned with forgiveness and rehabilitation than with punishment and death. Her story of sin committed and sin forgiven is an example of the inexhaustible mercy and compassion shown by Jesus to sinners. When we repent and express sorrow for our sins, Jesus will say, "Neither will I condemn you. Go and sin no more."
For all who come to know His love, let them find it here with us. Grace now shown, welcomed home, God the Father's mercy known, His mercy known. Sorry hearts, we close the door. Don't give the help they need. But Jesus looks and says, "You're loved. From your sins you are freed. So let this be the time. We are His living signs. And let His mercy shine."
What message for life do we get from today's liturgy? We need to become forgiving people ready for reconciliation. Jesus has shown inexhaustible mercy and compassion to sinners by dying for our sins. But we are often self-righteous like the Pharisees and ready to spread scandal about others with a bit of spicy gossip. We are judgmental about the unmarried mother, the alcoholic, the drug addict, and the shoplifter, ignoring Jesus' command, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Let us learn to acknowledge our sins, ask God's forgiveness every day, and extend the same forgiveness to our erring brothers and sisters. We too should learn to hate the sin and love the sinners, showing them mercy, compassion, sympathy, and acceptance, leading them to noble ways by our own exemplary lives.
So if we want to be like him and show the Father's love, be merciful with open arms, just like he is to us. So let this be the time, we are his living signs, and let his mercy shine for all who come to know his love. Let them find it here with us. Grace now shown, welcomed home, God the Father's mercy known, his mercy known.
In his book, A Forgiving God in an Unforgiving World, Ron Lee Davis tells the true story of a priest in Philippines, a much-loved man of God, who carried the burden of a secret sin he had committed many years ago. He had repented but still had no peace about it. In his parish was a woman who deeply loved God and who claimed to have visions in which she spoke with Christ. The priest, however, was skeptical about that. To test her, he said, "The next time you speak with Christ, ask him what sin I committed when I was in the high school." The woman agreed. A few days later, the priest asked, "Well, did Christ visit you in your dreams?" "Yes, he did," she replied. "And did you ask him what sin I committed back in high school?" "Yes." "And what did he say?" She smiled and answered, "Christ said, I don't remember."